We are joined right now by a former NFL quarterback. He is a quarterback consultant. He has worked with the likes of Deshaun Watson, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Drew Luck, Joe Burrow, Steven Montez, and more. The NFL Combine is underway in Indianapolis. Jordan Palmer is my guest. Jordan, great to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks Good. For having me on.
Good to have you on. So you and I saw each other in Miami, but now the Combine is getting underway in Indy. What is this time of year like for you?
Well, I've got kind of two groups going right now. So my draft guys this year, as you mentioned, Joe Burrow out of LSU, Steven Montez out of Colorado, very intriguing prospect. And then a guy that I haven't heard anybody say a peep about, so this might be the first peep, is Cole McDonald from Hawaii, who left early. Prolific passer, second in the country in yards and touchdowns, and looks the part. And a guy that came onto my radar kind of late, and the more I learned about him, the more I fell in love. And so those are my three draft guys. But then Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Kyle Allen are out here basically for the entire offseason. Just got done playing golf with Kyle and Josh. And then guys, some of the other guys, Drew Locke and Jarrett Sinn, these guys will come back for certain weeks and about five or six other vets. So I kind of have two groups going, which is great because the draft guys get to throw with guys who were in their shoes one, two, 3 years ago. So it's really more of a community than kind of just me up there preaching football stuff all day.
We are talking to Jordan Palmer. Now, one of the things you've talked about in the past is that the guys you work with are generally guys who have been playing football since middle school or earlier, and this period between the end of the college season and the combine or the draft is the only time when they can really focus on personal development without the distractions of school, team activities, etc. I mean, Jordan, given that window and the right coaching, how much can a quarterback improve during this period?
Well, you know, I'd love to put a percentage on it, which is tough. But, you know, if you think about it, let's take Sam Darnold, for example. And I think he's kind of the normal guy, right? He was really good in high school. He had a bunch of offers. He played another sport. Sam was a really good basketball player. He went on to college, played a big-time ball, went on to the league, got drafted high, and away he goes. Think about his career. So he started playing football when he was little, like most of these guys. But growing up, you know, you play other sports. You got school. You got family. You got stuff. In college, you know, you don't play other sports, but you got a lot of school. You got teammates. You got new freshmen you need to bring along. Most of the time, you got new coaching staff, new offenses to learn. And once you get to the league, you know, like my veterans, for example, Sam's not with us today because he's got marketing stuff, right? You know, you get to the league, then you're busy in the offseason. At some point, you get married, you have kids, you know, you got life. But the draft represents an opportunity of a couple of months where you have no teammates. You got one coach. You don't have to worry about anything other than yourself. You don't have other sports. You don't have classes. And so I think it represents the greatest window in their entire career for them to really take a step, and not just physically, like with mechanics and accuracy, but also in the scheme of things with, you know, as a person and the sports psychology side, what do you actually think about yourself in terms of confidence, figuring out how to use your platform for good. We do a lot of charity stuff. And so it creates an amazing window for these guys to really take a step. And I've been able to help a couple of guys do that and get blessed to continue to do it year over year.
Jordan Palmer, former NFL quarterback, is a quarterback consultant right now. The NFL Combine's underway in Indianapolis, and we're talking about some of the guys he's working with. Jordan, so what about Joe Burrow? Take me back to last season. What did you think when you watched him play?
Well, for me, it started in June. So I had run camps where I have high school kids come called QB Summits, and it's not an invite only. Anybody can come. And I bring in college guys as my counselors, and it's not too dissimilar from a lot of other camps out there. But I had Joe Burrow. I had heard some things about him, the year before, really two seasons ago. Coach Orgeron mentioned something to me once he went there, and I heard a couple buddies, you know, former LSU guys say, hey, man, this kid's a stud. So not this past season, but the season before, I watched every snap that he played. And outside of LSU fans, I don't know that many people did. And the story was that really the first half of the season, they weren't clicking on offense. They were predictable. He had a lot of drops. Same guys, a lot of drops. And like an abnormal amount of drops. And in the second half of the season, he seemed to, you know, when I watched him, if it was incomplete, well, the ball was in the right spot. Just something else didn't happen. And I think teams are starting to see that on tape now that they're looking at him. But, you know, in June when I met him, I mean, I think he was staring in the barrel of being a six-round pick. And but when I got to know him, and I had Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, a couple other guys around him, and they all said, "Man, this guy's a little different, man. He's a little bit more confident than these other guys his age. He's a little bit more mature than these other guys his age." And after I got to spend a weekend with him, watch him throw, spend time with him, sitting around a fire pit talking, all of it, I realized this guy was on the brink of something really special. I did not know it was going to go like this. I'm not sitting here saying I thought he was going to throw 60 touchdowns and go number one. But I did think this kid's a first-round pick. I said it on some media stuff last summer. And so, really, for me, it started with that. And then once you got two or three games into the season, I realized that this train was not going to slow down. He just played with a different level of confidence that I've seen. You know, you talk about, I think he had seven games that he played in where they were playing top 10 teams, and the result was the same. You know, he'd throw for however many yards and touchdowns you can throw in a game over and over and over again. And then as he started to really have success and started to snowball, which is when guys who are new to it can start to really, you know, buy into the hype or believe what they're hearing or any of these other traps. As we talked about the season, he just did a fantastic job, a very mature job of avoiding every trap that was set for him when guys have sudden success. And he's riding all the way through it. And now he's entering the league as confident as you can be. And he's, you know, he's throwing every day with guys who were in his spot a couple of years ago, and I put some other great people around him as well, and so I think he's poised to have a monster rookie year.
Jordan Palmer is joining us. There's so much to like about him, the way he carries himself, the way he plays, his head for the game, his accuracy. We can go on and on. You can talk for hours about that. But, of course, this is the time of year, Jordan, where people freak out about tiny details, and they look to shred every draft prospect. As an example, Joe's hands were measured at 9 inches. So what's your reaction when you hear that? Or more importantly, what is your reaction when you hear people freak out about that?
Well, it's funny, that kind of the whole hand size thing kind of started when I was playing. I started hearing people talk about it, and I think there's logic behind it, right? If a guy can't grip a football, how does he throw it in the weather? The problem is that we've seen some guys. Jared Goff's got 9-inch hands and like $125 million and a couple of Pro Bowls and a
right.
Super Bowl appearance. So the problem is there's just been guys that have small hands that have played well, and there's guys with big hands that can't play. So it's not 100% foolproof thing. It's kind of like heights for me. Like, do I want him to be 6'3", 6'4"? Sure. Would I take Drew Brees first overall if I knew what was coming? Yes. So you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt. What I tried to do to dispel that is I've got a little thing where I measure guys' grip strength because I kind of want to dispel that. And it's too early for me to release what everybody's are, but I've been measuring every quarterback I've been around's grip strength, and his grip strength is up there with the strongest. So I don't know if that matters either, but I just look at Joe and I go, look, this guy's the first pick in the draft. You know, 9-inch hands, do I wish they were 10.5? Sure. But I just don't think it's enough to concern me outside of just something to talk about on a Monday.
Jordan Palmer, my guest, for a few more moments. All right, so what about Steven Montez from Colorado? What do you make of what you've seen from him so far in workouts? What do you like about him?
Well, I think him and Justin Herbert are going to have the two strongest arms in the draft. And Herbert's been out there with me before and looks amazing. He's got a big, strong arm, big, strong kid. Montez is going to be right there with him, however you want to score it, in terms of arm talent. He's got a bunch of wow throws on tape. And then he's got some head-scratching plays on tape, too, like a lot of these guys do. What I love about Montez is that, you know, he played in three systems in a couple of years. He never really got settled. He played for defensive head coaches. So he hasn't really been developed like some of the other guys have been. And for me, that always looks at upside. Whether a guy plays like Patrick Mahomes in a spread offense that's hard to really evaluate, or when a guy's had multiple systems and had to change his philosophy and belief system over and over again at a young age, that can ruin guys, or it can also help you find the diamond in the rough. I think that's what I found. He's an El Paso kid, and I played at UTEP, so not too many El Paso kids are in this position, and so I've been paying attention just because of that. And he's done enough to get you really excited, and I've seen a lot of development in a short amount of time. He's all ball, you know, and he's you know, 6'4", 6'5", 230, and can run, and a powerful guy. So I think he's a guy who is just set, almost like a Derek Anderson-type player, except he can run around and create time and space. And Jim, you and I have talked about this. I think the future of the game is the quarterback's ability to create time and space. I literally haven't trained a quarterback that can't move because I don't think it works. So Steven is definitely that.
Josh Allen is definitely that too. Jordan Palmer, my guest. Before I let you go, what about Josh Allen? I know you're not going to take credit for all of it, but how much has he grown as a quarterback since the time you first met him, and what does the next level look like for him?
Well, I certainly don't deserve much more than a tad with him. I mean, he's a worker. You know, he's the son of a third-generation farmer. He knows work ethic. He's a powerful dude. He's got to be one of the, if not the most powerful quarterback in the NFL, just in terms of his ability to create energy, whether he's doing that to run or he's doing that to launch a football. To be honest with you, he's ahead of where I thought he'd be at this point. I knew he'd get drafted high. I knew he'd be a guy at some point, you know, a real guy at some point. But I did think it would take a year, two or three. He only played really half of a season last year with injuries. He had that, got hit on the elbow last year and had to miss about half the season. And then this year he had a bunch of new pieces, new running back, two new wideouts, new system. And man, he just took a massive, massive step forward. And what that does to a guy like that is confidence wise, they start to feel invincible. They start to feel like they can, like, you know, that they're the best player on the field. He certainly was the most powerful and the most explosive quarterback on the field, any field, but now I think he's stepping in, as particularly as this season approaches, he'll be stepping on the field feeling like he's the best player on the field, and that's when you start to go move into that upper echelon of the top couple guys in the league, and the future is really, really bright for him. He's got to continue to take hits wiser. He takes a lot of big hits, and that speaks to his toughness, but that comes with maturity and time. That's not anything I can simulate out here on the driving range. You got to do that on the course, and so I think he's going to take another massive step this year.
Hey, Jordan, one last thought. You mentioned Sam Darnold. He's had some tough luck as it relates to getting mono this past season. How frustrating was that for him, and what do you make of the way he responded to the challenge?
Well, it's not talked about because no one was paying attention, but he finished the year really well. Hit a big win versus Dallas, played really well in the last few games of the season. You know, one of the things that I told him when he was sick was, you know, in my opinion, the guys who sign the massive second contracts, they don't sign massive second contracts because of the touchdowns they throw and the games they win. They sign massive contracts for dealing with stuff, not necessarily specifically mono, but dealing with that and the Monday night debacle with the ghost comment and the New York media jumping on him. They get paid the massive contracts for handling those seasons of life and then throwing touchdowns and winning games. And so I just love the way that Sam responded to all of that. It just shows that they have their franchise guy. They can put everything on him. And as soon as Sam gets a year where he's pretty clean in the pocket and, you know, in terms of buying time, moving around, making plays, Sam's one of the best in the league right now. But as he continues to mature as a player and gets more game reps, you know, he's really only played two half seasons. I think the Jets have a lot to be excited about with him. And I think he's, you know, one of the bright young stars in this league.
Another awesome conversation. He's a former NFL quarterback. He is a quarterback consultant. He has worked with the likes of Deshaun Watson, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Drew Luck, currently working with Joe Burrow, Steven Montez, Cole McDonald, and more. The NFL Combine's underway in Indianapolis. Jordan Palmer, my guest. Jordan, that was awesome as always. Thank you so much. That's how you close the show. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Always good to talk to you, Jordan. Always look forward to it. Jordan Palmer, that is so interesting. All good stuff.